This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise from Charles Schwab is an original podcast that unpacks the stories making news there. Listen at schwab.com/washingtonwise.
Next up on Off Duty, the guy who found the beef.
Helping you enjoy the finer points of food and drink. This is Off Duty from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, and welcome to the Off Duty podcast, where we talk about all the burgers. Well, that's what we're talking about today, and I'm Beth Cracklauer.
And I'm Kevin Sensabaugh.
And here with us in the studio is a true scholar of the hamburger, a pundit of the patty. I won't go on. He's
like
the author of the book Hamburger America and the director of the documentary of the same name and the host of the Travel Channel series Burgerland. His latest contribution to the field of burgerology is The Great American Burger Book. Welcome to the podcast, George Motes.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So I loved Hamburger America. For one thing, because I love the idea of planning a cross-country road trip based entirely around where you're going to stop for a burger. I've actually done that. It's a state-by-state guide to the best burgers all over the country. How did you decide to take on that daunting project?
It was completely by accident. I started out actually as a film called Hamburger America that profiled eight different restaurants in America. And I actually purposely stayed away from New York and Los Angeles. I wanted people to actually go into America, what we obviously call the flyover states, and get out there and really experience, you know, real hamburgers in America. It became a little bit of a hit. It was on Sundance Channel for 18 months. It ran for about a year and a half. And then somebody asked me to make a book. I said, take your research and roll it into a book, which is, of course, a lot harder than it sounded. It actually was a lot more difficult than I ever imagined. Of course, I said, it'll be my last book. You know, so this is it. This is George's first and last book.
Famous last words.
Famous last words. I said, Don't say that. You never know. And sure enough, I'm on my third book now. But the original book profiled 100 places in America. And to me, it was beautiful. I'd love to be able to just go into America and do this sort of thing. And I really felt like I wasn't doing it. You know, it wasn't a job. It was actually a complete enjoyment for me. And it continues to be.
Yeah. Big, important question. Would you say the hamburger is America's national dish?
Absolutely. Of course I would. You think I'm going to give that credit to the hot dog or pizza? No way. No, it really is. I mean, I believe that it really is probably the only true American food invention of the last 100 and so years.
Right.
There are other things that have been invented out there, and people will make that argument. But it really is, I think, probably the most important by far, you know, truly American food stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your latest book, The Great American Burger Book, takes a more hands-on approach. You actually provide recipes for these different, very different in some cases, regional burgers around the country. You know, there are a lot to choose from. How did you narrow it down to the burgers you actually ended up including in the book?
There are a lot of burgers out there.
Yeah.
And people, I think of burgers as there's a burger patty, a beef patty, and then there's stuff on top of it. Mm-hmm. And there's a bun. But really, in America, I've learned that it's not just about the stuff that's on top of the burger. It's about the method. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hamburger method out there people don't understand exist out, you know, in the world, especially in America. There's frying. There's deep frying. Mm-hmm. There's poaching. There's steaming. Yeah, steaming of burgers. There's, you know, grilling methods that are very different from one place to the next. And they're very regional. And people, I think, appreciate the fact that the hamburger is an American item. But if they're in the big cities and they're getting the fast food burger, what they're finding out is really that burger represents a sort of a washed out version of what really exists in America, which are these very, very specific, exclusive to regions.
Right. So during your research, did you come across any burger chefs that were reluctant to tell them your recipes?
Oh, of course. And they're not in the book. I mean, there are many recipes. I didn't want to know recipes. To me, I didn't want anyone's secrets. I didn't want to, you know, blow people's secrets if they said they had secrets. I've always been like that. I've always said, if you have a secret, that's what keeps you alive in this business. By all means, do not tell me.
Yeah.
Not that I ever would blow that secret. But to me, I wanted to make sure that the methods that are in the book are methods that you may have heard of before. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't heard of the poached burger. But people who make this poached burger in Wisconsin, Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, have been doing it forever. And it's not a very complicated method. And they actually, the way they cook the burgers in sort of a fishbowl type burger stand, everyone can see what's going on. It's just burgers going into a shallow bed of water. And I tried to recreate that. I think we did successfully recreate that. But again, I always tell people, you have to go out there and try the ones that are out there in America before you try to make them yourself, if you can.
So you kind of reverse engineered some of these.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And with their blessings. I mean, I spoke to a lot of these burger chefs and cooks out there, and I want to put this in the book. And they said, that's great. Even though it wasn't, maybe it wasn't particularly their contribution. Maybe they're the ones who have continued the tradition. You know, maybe they didn't invent that tradition. At least, I tried to get as close as I possibly could in the book.
Yeah, I haven't eaten as many burgers as you have. I can't claim to have done that. But I have put a serious dent in the national burger supply of all the ones I've had across the country. And again, it's been many. I love my favorite. I think the king of them all is New Mexico's green chili cheeseburger.
It's funny. People do tell me that all the time. And if I think I know why, too. It's because it's the only burger that will actually give you a buzz.
Yeah.
It's the only burger that actually will excite your endorphins and cause you to feel euphoric.
Yeah.
And so imagine you're already having a great burger to begin with, and you add the green chili endorphin rush, and you sort of like it's a pretty incredible experience.
I've forever been chasing that first green chili cheeseburger feeling.
There's also the altitude. You're at altitude and you eat
that's a very good combination.
It's all altitude.
Context is so important.
So important. Yeah, a green chili cheeseburger in New York, which they exist here now. They are great, but they'll never be the same experience you can have in New Mexico.
Well, that's the thing. Like the pimento cheeseburger, and they're all these burgers that are kind of expressing something fundamental about their individual place. They're delivering. It's a burger. It's still a burger. It's recognizably a burger, but you're getting also something very specific.
It's true. Yeah. You are getting something that's regional, something that is that ties that experience to a region in America, and which can tie that burger to a moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's very important. I mean, to me, the experiential part of the hamburger is as important as how it tastes.
Yeah.
You know, what I call the whole burger experience. If you're in a restaurant, you're eating that burger, you're not just eating a great burger. You're talking to the people who are in that bar or that restaurant. And you're in that, like if you're in New Mexico and you're at altitude, that actually makes for a great hamburger experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just have the important questions here. Let's talk about...
He's keeping it really serious.
Let's talk about toppings, right? Mm-hmm. Are there limits to what you can put on a burger? In your research, did you come across any toppings that you felt exceeded the bounds of decency, of burger orthodoxy?
Orthodoxy.
Orthodoxy. Yes, that's the word.
Yes, of course I've come across crazy burgers. I never talk about the crazy burgers because to me, my mother always said, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it.
No, say it here.
I believe that
it's a safe space.
In the world of hamburgers, because people do put too much on burgers sometimes.
Sure.
And those restaurants don't stay in business. It's as simple as that. I mean, the burgers that give you the choice of too many toppings are not really, they don't really care about the burger. All they really care about is, coming up with some crazy, creation of a pile of ingredients. But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Everybody out there knows that in their heart of hearts that they really want the most basic burger they can come up with, which is usually two, maybe three toppings. And some of those toppings should be incorporated into the burger itself. Onions should be part of the patty,
Yeah.
Also, I tell everybody, no one believes me, that grease itself is a condiment. And if you had a burger with just really good beef and grease, that's a condiment itself.
I'm going to tell that to my cardiologist. So, okay. Real talk now. Again, important question. Veggie burgers.
I'm sorry, what?
Vegetable burgers, otherwise known as veggie burgers, do they actually, officially, technically, spiritually qualify as burgers?
Not really. Because to me, a hamburger, it comes from the name Hamburg, which is, hails from the city of Hamburg, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That was specifically chopped beef on a plate, cooked somehow and served on a plate with, potatoes and onions. That came to America by way of immigration, ended up in America as the Hamburg sandwich eventually.
Yeah.
Therefore, if it was made with beef, how can we possibly, include the veggie in that, or for that matter, a tuna. Tuna burger is not a burger.
Yeah.
I always think that the burger should be reserved just specifically for beef patties.
All right.
Everything else to me is a.
It's just a sandwich.
It's a cake or like.
It is. They are like
a crab cake.
I would like a veggie cake.
Right.
Well, exactly. This kind of brings us to my next question, which is why. Of all the foods it could have been, you mentioned pizza, you mentioned fried chicken, whatever. Why the hamburger? Why is that the one that's come to symbolize America to the rest of the world, to the whole planet?
To me, the hamburger is something that can be made very simply with inexpensive ingredients, and the results far exceed the actual sum of its parts, basically. It's actually really simple to make a great burger. and come up with something that will absolutely blow your mind. I think a lot of things are not as rewarding as a hamburger in a way. And also the hamburger, if it's built correctly, it really does contain everything you're going to need in that bite. The salty, the sweet, the crunchy, the hot, it's all going to be in that thing. And it really makes for a great experience. I mean, it really is. I mean, I think also that Americans are truly proud of the American hamburger culture.
I am. I certainly am. And I really think that anyone would be even more so after reading your book. Seriously, it is a tribute to a great American food and offers recipes so that you can make it at home. It's out April 12th, The Great American Burger Book. Thank you, George, for coming in and talking to us today.
Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps it up, another off-duty podcast. You can listen to many more podcasts at wsj.com/podcasts, or please just subscribe on iTunes. And as always, if you like what you hear, tell a friend.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.